Amen. Some of y'all just are too disappointed y'all done it once. They want to do it twice. Amen. Three times. Yeah, they've done it, already done it once in Alaska. Amen. All right, amen. So we're going to try to do that, not this coming Sunday night, but next Sunday night after the end of the service, amen. So be praying about that. Also, the Preacher's Fellowship is Friday night, this Friday night, at Brother Kevin Mathis's in Cornerstone Baptist Church in Kings Mountain. So it is a little bit ride, and we're always getting backed up on 485 over there. So we're going to leave about 4:15. If anybody is very interested in going and that time just don't work, we maybe need to tweak it a little bit, just let us know. But we're going to leave at 4:15, all possible. And then Saturday, we're going to be trying to form up this place to pour this slab in front of the fellowship. All somebody's already been shoveling and rocking. We thank the Lord for that. But Brother Jeff will have his transit, and we can set it up and shovel it out everywhere to where it needs to be, and then frame it up, and then hopefully get it poured soon and get that project going. Amen. In order to at least get rid of the safety hazard that we got out there, amen, for by the time Bible school comes around. So we work in that way, amen. So keep these things in your prayer, amen. Genesis chapter 13. Genesis 13, that number of rebellion. We'll see here Lot and Abram's strife, or the herdman's strife, and the separation that takes place. We call in this chapter Abram and Lot's last dance. Their last stand together. Except for the time when later on when Abraham's interceding for him while he's in Sodom and Gomorrah trying to ask God to spare his life and those other righteous people that are there. We looked at the first four verses last time under the return and the restoration. Amen. We see where Abram comes out of Egypt and he's restored here and the altar is built. Tonight we'll look at verse 5 through verse 13, the rebellion and the separation that takes place between Abraham and Lot, or Abram and Lot. And then lastly, next time we get together on the study here, we'll look at verse 14 through 18 and the reward and the segregation that takes place. So Abram and Lot's last dance, rebellion and separation. Let's read the chapter, Genesis 13, verse 1 through 4. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold, and he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. I'm sure he looks back and he wishes he'd never left there to start with, but nonetheless he did. But thank God, God was merciful and he made it back. And we can testify to that tonight. There's been some times we went some places we should have never went, but thank God, God was merciful, didn't kill us, allowed us to find a place of repentance and find ourselves back where we should have never left. Verse 5, and Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together, for their substance was great so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. And Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abram, After that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it, and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Amen. Amen. Brother Ted Mack, pray for us if you would, brother. Yes, Lord, help us tonight. Thank you, Lord. Amen. The rebellion and the separation. Amen. This is, of course, the rebellion and the separation between Abram and Lot here. Lot is Abram's nephew, and they have left Ur of the Chaldees and begin to journey into the land that God has called Abram. Amen. We see in verse number 5 here tonight, and chapter 13, verse 5, and Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. Now, Abraham and Lot has left Ur of the Chaldees with Abram's father when they first began to journey out. But God told them to leave all his family behind. But for some reason or another, Abraham brought Lot. He brought his father with him. And they journeyed out and they came to a place where they stayed for a little while until his father died off. And now Abram has been left with Lot, and they've journeyed down to the land that God finally told him to go to and said, this is the land. God made the covenant with him. And then there came a famine in the land. Things got rough. So Abram and Lot, of course, with Abram's wife Sarah is there with him also, journeys down into Egypt. Abraham goes down to Egypt, and he begins to lie to Pharaoh and the people down there that his wife Sarah is his sister because he's scared they were going to kill him and take her. But God delivered him out of that, and they make their way back, and that's the beginning of chapter 13. They make their way back. Abram and Lot are back in the land that God had called them to, and Abraham is building an altar again in worship of the Lord. Abraham was to leave Ur of the Chaldees and leave his family behind, according to chapter 12, verse 1. You can look there and we'll read it again just for remembrance. Chapter 12, verse 1. And the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. God said, leave your family behind. His father has been now removed out of the picture. He has died off out of the scene. God took him out by death, amen. And so Abraham's beginning back to journey here after his father dies, but he still has Lot with him. And God's plan was to go all by yourself. God removed his father out of the picture by death. Now we'll see tonight that he's going to remove a lot out of the picture by strife between one another. Listen, when God tells you to do something, the best thing we can do is just obey it to the T the best we can. When we don't understand why and what God's doing, just do what God said, walk by faith, not by sight, amen, and we'll all be better off. Amen. But Abraham didn't go out that way, even though God praised him as the father of faith, and God rightfully so does for what he has done. But Abraham had some hiccups in his life. Well, I'm glad to report there that, hey, we've had some hiccups in our lives, but thank God God's faithful, amen, and God can still bless our lives beside our mistakes that we make. So his father's been removed out of the picture by death. Now we're going to see tonight Lot's going to be removed out by strife between his herdmen and Abram's herdmen. Amen. The more things, look in verse 6 there with me. So he came back and Lot's still with him in verse 5. The Bible said in verse 6, and the land was not able to bear them. That being Abram and Lot and their flocks and their herds and their tents. And the land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together, for their substance was great so that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt then in the land. We'll see why a little picture about that in a moment. But they're gathered into this land. They're at the place that God's called them to. They come out of Egypt with great riches. God's blessed Abraham despite all his mess. And now Lot's been blessed also with great herds and flocks and family. Amen. And they're spread it out abroad out there, but there's not enough room to bear them. Their riches is kind of becoming, if you will, a little hindrance in their life. I'd say this tonight, the more things we have sometimes brings more trouble with it. And sometimes life's a lot simpler when you don't have much. You know, you got God, glory be to God, that's good. You got a roof over your head, you got clothes on your back, you got a job, God's blessing you, good health. Man, that's enough to sustain every one of us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Yeah, and when God dumps on extra, glory be to God. But sometimes when He dumps on extra and blesses our life, sometimes we don't handle it the right way, and sometimes it brings more trouble in our lives. Amen. There was no strife between Abram's herdman and Lot's herdman when neither one of them had much, but when they got a lot, then came troubles. Hey, sometimes the things we ask God to give us more of, sometimes they can be a snare in our lives. If God blesses you, glory be to God, but don't let the blessings become the thing you worship over the God that sent the blessings. Amen. Sometimes we begin to worship our material possessions more than we do the God that sent them down from above. Amen. The more things sometimes brings more trouble. Earthly possessions and wealth can cause problems in family members. Well, you could probably almost all of us say amen right there. Especially, you know, it's the truth is the truth when people die. Ain't it sad? I mean, in a tragic time like that, people die in your family, and then the siblings and somebody that's not right with God wants to fight over what's left with mom and daddy. And they didn't really have nothing left to start with, but we're going to fight over it and make sure we get ours. Amen. Sometimes that's the way it is. Amen. Earthly possessions and wealth brings trouble within our homes. Hey, sometimes you can get blessed and you ain't got nothing, and you and your wife's close, and you got God, and you got one another, and you got your children, and your family's going good, and God dumped some blessings on you, and you begin to worship the things that God's blessed you with instead of the God, like I said already, and it starts bringing trouble in the marriage. Hey, that's just the way it works. Amen. You better be careful when you begin to get things that those things don't get you. Amen. That's the thing, amen. When they get their claws in us and we begin to desire the things of the world more than God, then our lives become a mess. Amen. The love of money is the root of all evil. Amen. And some covet after it, and when they begin to covet after it, it begins to destroy their lives. It pulls them away from God. It pulls them away from their Bible. It pulls them away from their family. Hey, it can destroy your life. Amen. Trouble between Lot and Abram was caused by strife by others. You know, it's amazing. The strife wasn't between Abram and Lot. The Bible says clearly in verse 7, it's between both of them's herdmen. Abram and Lot didn't have no trouble, but their herdmen had trouble. When their herdmen had trouble, it caused them to have trouble. Well, how many times have you seen that? Other people have trouble with other people in your family, and so then that brings trouble to you and those. And that's just that way it works, amen. Amen. There's trouble there between them both, amen. But the Canaanites and the Perizzites are watching while it goes along in verse number 6. The Bible said the Canaanites were in the land. We know they're people against God. The Perizzites are in the land. They're in the same land where Abram and Lot is, and they're while their herdmen are striving against one another. Now, Abram and Lot been pulled into trouble into friction between one another, and the Perizzites and the Canaanites, the world's watching while the brethren fight it out. Well, that's one thing we forget a lot of times. While we're fighting amongst one another, the world's sitting there watching, and we become a joke to the world. Instead of being a witness to those lost people of how Christianity ought to be performed and how God's people ought to live amongst one another, we fight it out while the world goes to hell. Ain't that a shame? Well, the devil knows what he's doing, don't he? Amen. He knows how to cause strife. He knows how to cause trouble. And if we're not careful, we'll open up our mouths and look like a bunch of fools while the world goes to hell. The Bible said they dwelled in the land. I believe God threw that in there and let us know. You better be careful. Somebody's watching your life. Amen. Well, let's look at this thing. I want to look at Abram's endeavor. We know what he endeavors to do to keep the unity. Lot's eyes and what they get caught up in, and then Abram and Lot's end. Abram's endeavor. What does Abram endeavor to do? Well, there's strife here. There's a trouble here. He's been blessed, glory be to God, but there's trouble between his herdmen and Lot's herdmen. So in verse number 8, Abram said unto Lot. Now the strife's between the herdmen, but Abraham initiates the conversation to try to fix the issue. Hey, somebody's got to be more spiritual. Say not to think about Galatians chapter number 6, where if a brother be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thine own self, lest thou also be tempted. Hey, somebody's got to be the spiritual one to say, hey, this just not going to work, man. We got to come to a head. We got to fix this thing, or say it's going to blow up, and the Canaanites and the Perizzites are going to go to hell while we're fighting it out. Hey, Abraham goes to Lot and initiates to try to bring unity back between them. You know what? And we'll see here tonight. Sometimes unity is not the way we draw it up in our minds. And sometimes it does work the way we draw it up in our minds. And glory be to God if it's godly. But sometimes drastic measures have to be done to get things to where they need to be. But Abraham initiates the efforts to fix the problem. The Bible said, and Abram said unto Lot, verse 8, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Hey man, we're the same. We're family members for one thing, but he's saying, brethren, you could say, hey, in that sense, in the Old Testament economy, according to 2 Peter, that Lot knew the same Lord Abraham knew. Amen. We brethren, we're God's people. Amen. We're family members. We ought not to be fighting it out like this, like a bunch of idiots. Abram's endeavoring to try to keep the unity. You know the verse. Let's look at it. Hold your place in Genesis and look in Ephesians chapter number 4. Hey, somebody has to be the spiritual one to try to initiate some kind of effort to fix the problem. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 4. The Bible says, Paul's speaking to the Ephesians here. He said in verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. What are we called to do? With a call to walk in the vocation, the occupation, the things God's called us in to do. And we're to do this in verse 2 with all lowliness. Amen. It ain't us. It's the God that's called us. And meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Look, endeavoring. That's an effort. That's a work. To keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Abraham is endeavoring to try to fix the issue between Lot and his herdmen and Lot's herdmen. He initiates the effort to fix the problem. Abraham says, hey, I've got something I think that'll work. Let's see if we can make this thing work. He said, we'll be brethren. There shouldn't be strife. And look what he proposes. And this is not what we'd always propose, but sometimes it comes to this. Verse 9. Is not the whole land before thee? He said, hey man, the strife here. You can imagine here, they have cattle, they have herd, they're out there grazing on the grass, and Lot's herdman said, hey man, get your cattle away from mine. We got the green grass over here, we picked it first. And Abraham's herdman said, hey, no, man, we picked that section. We want the greener grass. And so they're fighting over the greener grass. And they can't get along. And Abraham said, here's what I propose, Lot. Let's just separate ourselves. Let's go our different ways. Now, sometimes unity is drawing together to keep peace. And sometimes you got to be separated away from one another so peace can be done. And in this case, maybe Abraham's coming to the conclusion that, hey, God told me in the beginning to go by myself anyhow. I should have never brought this guy with me, even though I love him and he's my nephew. Just like I should have never brought my daddy and put him into this situation that took his life, maybe prematurely, who knows. Bible doesn't say, but he was not to come, and he did die. And now Abraham's over here, and there's stripe over here, and Abraham maybe is looking through the stripe and seeing God's hand in this thing and saying, you know what? This ain't God's will anyhow. Because it wasn't God's will. We know that wasn't God's will. And so Abraham said, this is what I propose. Let's just separate. Look what he said in verse number 9. If it's not the whole land before thee, separate thyself, I pray thee, from me, if thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou wilt depart to the right, then I will go to the left. You want to see godliness? Here's a man endeavoring to try to keep unity. He sees, possibly by now, that, hey, I've made some wrong moves. I should have trusted God and went out like I said, like he said to start with. I've lost my father. Now, hey, Lot, you've got to go. Let's just separate, go our separate ways. Abram, listen to me. Abram is in the land that God has promised him. And we'll see again. God brings his promise right back in a minute. And he says, look, we'll look maybe next week is when he does it. He says, look northward, look west, look southward, look westward, look eastward. Now, in a minute, Lot's about to choose eastward. He's going that way. Do you know whose land he's choosing? Abram's land. You know who offered him his land? Abram offered him his land. He said, I know this is mine. God's promised it to me. But if it'll help me and you, you choose a side. Man, help yourself and I'll take what's left. Amen. He's willing to give up some of his own just to keep peace and unity between his brethren and make sure the Perizzites and the Canaanites don't see a bunch of idiots over here that are saved, fight it out while they go to hell. And he says, hey man, if it costs me some land, take it, man. Choose whatever you want. Here's what's amazing, we'll see next week. Hey, Lot chooses to go eastward. And when Abraham gets down there, God says, Abraham, look northward, look southward, look westward, look eastward. He said, every bit of it's yours. He gave it away and God gave it back. You can't outgive God, amen.
Amen.
You can't outgive him. He's endeavoring to fix the problem. He offers him what was promised to him. Sometimes it takes separation so God's work can go forward and do what needs to be done. Sometimes it takes it. Do we understand everything? Why? No, not always. But sometimes it takes it. Let me give you a New Testament example. And I don't believe every party here was in the correct will of God neither. But nonetheless, it took some separation. Look in Acts 15. Acts 15. That's right at that great council meeting that took place where they settled the thing about New Testament salvation in the New Testament church. And at the end of that thing, Paul and Silas, or Paul and Barnabas, says, hey, let's go back and check out some mission works that the Lord's allowed us to start. And look in Acts 15, look in verse 36. And some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take John, whose surname was Mark. Barnabas said, hey, let's take my nephew. If you know anything about the book of Acts, or remember, John Mark went with him already one time before. We studied this thing in a character study on him not too long ago. Most of you probably remember. Amen. Hey, John Mark went. He got cold feet for one reason or another. He came back home. And now they're going to go back and check the works. And Paul says, Barnabas, let's go check out our brother. Let's see what's going on. And Barnabas said, hey, let's take my nephew again. Let's take him with us. And look at this. The Bible said in verse 38, but Paul thought not good to take him with him, and who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. Paul said, you know, Barnabas, I just don't think it's a good idea. We didn't take him one time and he came back and departed while we had a great work done and work to be done, and he left us holding the bag. I don't think it's a good idea. And so the Bible says in verse 39, the contention was so sharp between them. Can you just see them sitting there? That they departed asunder one from the other, their separation taking place. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren in the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia and confirming the churches. Now who's right or who's wrong? Now I got my opinion on what I think. Hey, the brethren recommended Silas. Barnabas kind of wanted to take his kin people with him. And nonetheless, there was a separation. One went this way to a work, another one went this way, but a work still went on. Now when they stand before the Lord, they'll give a account who was right, who was out of the will of God, who was in the will of God. But they separated and the gospel began to spread, and eventually John Mark made a round trip and got back right with Paul in the end of the story. Amen. So something worked out good in it. Hey, God knows how to work our mess out into something good if we'll just trust God and stick with him.
Amen.
There's separation. Sometimes it takes separation. Back in Genesis chapter 13, separation hurts. It pulls two parties apart. And sometimes there's casualties within. But sometimes it takes it. Paul said over there in the book of to the Philippian church that some preach the gospel to bring trouble on him. But Paul said, if Christ be preached, glory be to God. I don't care why they're doing what they're doing. Sometimes you got to take that attitude about it. If the gospel's being preached and God's doing the work, just glory be to God and let it go, man. Roll on and move on, you know. Hey, sometimes separation takes place. Amen. Abraham had wisdom from God on how to handle it. That's the key. Sometimes it's hard to understand, how do I do this? How do I handle it? Contention, like it was in the book of Acts, Acts 15, between Paul and Barnabas. Strife between Abram's herdman and his and Lot's herdman. Hey, man, hey, you know one thing you better do when it comes to a point like that? We better get on our knees and talk to God about it before we open our mouths and make a bigger mess. Abraham had wisdom from God. Abraham initiated. He went to him. Abraham said, choose whatever side you want. I'll just trust the Lord with the rest. It doesn't really matter to me. Hey, you just got to learn to trust God and ask God for wisdom on how to handle it. Look at this in James chapter 3. Keep that place held in Genesis 13, excuse me. James chapter 3. James chapter 1 says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not. Amen. So James teaches that principle early on in the book of James that, hey, just ask God if you don't know how to handle it. If you ask God if you don't know what to do, hey, that's a great verse, James 1:5. We need to pray for wisdom from God. Amen. How would you handle it? What does God want me to do here? There's strife. There's contention. Things are not good. Hey, we just want to serve the Lord and be where God called me to be. And listen, that ought to be every one of us' desire. Is to be in the center of God's will where God wants us to be. Amen. And if things arises that tries to deter that, seek God on what you ought to do and how to handle it. Because God can give it. Listen to this verse. I like this verse. James chapter 3, verse number 17, I believe it is. James 3 in verse 17. The Bible says in James 3:17, but the wisdom that is from above, it's first pure. Now, no doubt, I believe Abraham had a pure heart. He said, man, choose the right. I'll take the left. Choose the left. I'll take the right. Hey, the whole land's before us. We be brethren. That's pure, man. That's a pure motive. God, ask God to give you a pure motive and a true heart about it. He said, and this is the wisdom that he got. It was from above. It came from God. And the wisdom that is from above is first pure and then what? Peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Man, that's the kind of wisdom we all need. Right. I believe Abraham had a pure heart. Man, I don't want any trouble. We're brethren. I don't want to see the Canaanites and the Perizzites go to hell while we fight it out. It was from wisdom from above to be pure, to be gentle, to be what? Look at the words that he uses. Peaceable, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and of good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. He wasn't being a hypocrite about it. He just wanted God's word to be done in his life. And sometimes that's easier preaching than it is living. It's hard to understand how to handle it sometimes. But God brings down that wisdom from above. And how do you know it's God's will? It's pure. It's not hypocrisy. It's gentle. It's peaceable. You're just trying to do right. Look what Paul said to the New Testament church in Romans 12. You know the verse. Let's look at this subject here. We're talking about Abraham's endeavor to keep unity, to try to fix the issue. Romans chapter number 12. Look down to verse number 18. Paul said, if it be possible, Romans 12, 18. Listen, if it be possible, that means, guess what? Sometimes it ain't possible.
Yeah, amen.
Let's just tell it ain't. He said, if it be possible, that means sometimes it ain't going to be.
Right.
Listen, if it be possible, as much as life in you, live peaceably with what? That's what we ought to be endeavoring to do. If it be possible, you say, preacher, well, it just ain't impossible to me. Well, ask God to help you to make it possible. God's in there, right? And try to live peaceably with all men as much as lieth within you. Hey, but sometimes you just got to separate.
Yeah.
Abraham said, it just ain't going to work, son. We ain't going to be able to fix it. You go that way, I'll go this way. We'll just serve the Lord and we'll just try to finish our races out apart from one another. Separation. Abram's and Deborah. Look back in Genesis 13. And we see Abram's and Deborah, but we see Lot's eyes. You know what the problem was? Is it begins to, you know, sooner or later, well, I shouldn't say sooner or later, because sometimes you never understand it. Sometimes it never comes to light on this side, but it will on that side. Everything will. Everything will be plain on the housetop. Ain't nothing going to be hid. Everything's going to show itself to be true. But sometimes God will let you see some motives. But when it's shown, and it's shown in this case that the problem wasn't Abram, the problem was Lot. Now, the problem, you can go back, that it was Lot, he should have left him home. But now he's there in a strife. But the problem is, it's going to be shown by the choices that Lot makes.
Right.
It's going to show his heart. Hey, sooner or later, your heart will be shown.
Yeah.
Here or there.
Amen.
Lot's eyes. Listen, the glitter, listen to me, young people, the glitter is not always gold.
Amen.
The grass is not always greener on the other side. It's not always what the world portrays it to be. The advertisements on television, the billboards, and the laughter, and the joy around drinking and drugging and hell raising, amen. Hey, that glitter is not gold. That grass is not greener, amen. If it is, it's grown up and there's snakes in it, amen. There's trouble out there. Lot's eye, look in verse 10 of Genesis 13. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plains of Jordan. Abraham said, hey, make a choice, man. So he looks. I don't like what I see there. I mean, I'll go that way. He made a choice. He looked. I looked all the way to the back row and seen them two boys back there. I said, no, I'm going the other way. I appreciate you, boys. Good to see you tonight. Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. It's a watered land. It's a good land. Look. He said, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord. That's great, right? Look at this, though. Like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Gives you a little insight of what he saw. He saw something that was like Egypt. Lot's eyes. The lust of the eyes proves out to be the destruction of Lot's life. Not only Lot, but many of people. You know what the Bible says, 1 John 2:15, 16, love not the world, right? Neither the things that are in the world, for all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes. Lust of the flesh, pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. Hey, somebody, the lust of those eyes. He lifted up his eyes, and he saw that land, and said, man, it's beautiful. That's the way I'll go. The Bible said it's something like the garden of the Lord, but it's like the land of Egypt. Where did he see Egypt? You remember where he saw Egypt? That's when him and Abraham went down there and sojourned for a little while when the famine came. And something down in Egypt got down in Lot's heart. Listen to me tonight, young people. You better be careful, amen. Well, I'm just going to sojourn. I'm going to look at a couple of sites. I'm going to go a couple of places, hang out with a couple of friends. Hey, you better watch out. Egypt will get down in your heart.
Yeah,
and if it ever gets down in your heart, you're going to be looking for it everywhere you turn to try to find that satisfaction again. Egypt got in his heart. Hey, Abraham should have never let him down there.
Right.
Let me say this, Mom and Daddy, you better be careful where you lead your children.
Amen.
They fall in love with the world. Where'd they pick it up from? They got there without your help. Some things you could have avoided. Walking by sight causes most of our failures and sorrows in all of our lives. Walking by sight. Hey, did it not bring it to Adam and Eve? She saw that the food was good, and man, it was on then. Just a look, and then she's eating. It's just a look, then David's laying with Bathsheba. It's just a look, and Achan, here's what the Bible said about Achan. Listen to this right here, this verse. Here's how this verse breaks down. Amen. Achan got a look, Joshua 7:21. The Bible said, I saw, I coveted, and I took. That's about how it goes down. He saw it, he covered it, and then he took it. And boy, you've seen the destruction it brought on Achan. And many examples through the Word of God, and many examples, even our own lives are sometimes examples of getting our eyes on the wrong thing that brings failures and sorrows to our lives. Egypt got down in his heart. And it got down into his heart through his eye gate. He saw it before. Looked at it, and then it got down in here. Or they listen to it, and then it gets down in here. Or you taste it, and then it gets down in here. Amen. It's all about getting in that heart. The Bible says, keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it, your heart, is the issues of life.
Amen.
Lot's eyes has got him in trouble. Lot's lust for Egypt finally caught up with him. Sooner or later it will. If you don't keep a short account with God and deal with that sin down in your heart, sooner or later that thing in your heart will come out.
Amen.
God said it with, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaking. You can't hold it down for so long. If you got something in your heart, young people, that's pulling you away from God, you better get that heart right with God and put it on an altar and ask God to forgive you and cleanse you before it destroys your life.
Amen.
Middle-aged people, older people, marriage couples, hey, don't let something get in your heart and destroy what God's blessed you with.
Amen.
Been looking at things that's destroying you, stop it. Put a guard about it. Ask God to forgive you. Amen. His lust finally catches up and he says, that's the land I want. I choose to go there. You know what's amazing? When he chooses it, well, ain't nothing wrong. He just made a choice. Then he goes that direction, and you know what? It really don't look that bad to start with. But hold on, it ain't over yet. When the prodigal left and said, that's what I want, fine. He left the house, wasn't really much trouble, but it didn't take long, many days thereafter, the trouble comes. That's the way people are when they get into sin. It starts out and it's smooth and it's good. Nothing's wrong, man, but you better be careful. Well, we're just kissing a little bit, and then for long, then there's premarital stuff that shouldn't be going on between people that's not married, and now there's a mess, and now there's babies, and now it's just a little bit. I believe I just take a swallow, and then you're taking another one, and then you're drunk, and then you just take a little toke, and then you're taking another one, and then pop one pill, feel the feeling like how it feels, get another, and then before long you're addicted to it. Now you're stealing from mom and daddy and grandma and who knows what, and your life's in a mess.
Yeah, amen.
And it just started out, just a little look, a little try. It'll get you. It ends up destroying the relationship between Abram and Lot. And this is where we see the end. Their end. Abram and Lot went through the same things. Now, don't miss this point. Both of them left Ur of the Chaldees. Both of them went down to Haran. Both of them buried Abram's father. Both of them sojourned down to Egypt. Both of them came back. Both of them's around the altar. Both of them's around the same environment, and one turns out great and one turns out bad. It's all about what was in one's heart and what was in the other one's heart.
Amen.
They all look the same. Y'all all look the same tonight, but I don't know what's in your heart. Why does one turn out good and one turn out bad? Because there's a problem in the heart. That's the thing.
Amen.
Same Sunday school department, same youth group, same church, same services, and one goes haywire and the other one sticks.
Amen.
It's a heart issue.
Amen.
You say, well, you know, it ain't going to happen to me. Your heart's wicked, it'll happen.
Yeah, amen.
You want to tell giveaway if your life's going to flaw? Is your heart dwelling with wickedness and you're not dealing with it?
Amen.
It'll get you. Both of them had the same things happen. The difference was Abraham didn't make the choices for the world like Lot did. He didn't allow Egypt in his heart. Lot allowed it in. Both had the same choices to make. One chose right and one chose wrong. I mean, look at the differences. According to Hebrews 11:10, Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. Lot, instead, looked for one built by man. Like the land of Egypt, down towards Sodom. Abram was a generous, godly man. Lot turned out greedy and worldly. Abram walked by faith, and Lot walked by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:17. We're to walk by faith, not by sight. Look in verse 11. He lifted up his eyes, but in verse 11, Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from another. Abram dwelt in the land of Cana, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Lot made a choice. You know what Lot's choice was? Listen, it was straight toward sin. It was straight toward Sodom. God said that men of Sodom were wicked, exceeding sinners. Wicked. How did he say it? He said, before the Lord exceedingly. They were wicked sinners exceedingly before the Lord. When Lot made his choice, he said, I like that. That looks good, man. What some of you girls will do, he looks good, she looks good. Hey, your life's going to go down because they don't know God. But we're going to make it work. He ain't going to make sin work. He said, when he made his choice was straight to the world. The choices you make, if they're straight to the world, they're going to be worldly and they're going to destroy you. Think about the choice. Is it a worldly choice? Is he a godly man? Is she a godly woman? Well, that's the one I want. That's a choice straight to sin. That's what you're going to reap. You sow it, you're going to reap it. The choices you make, the direction you head. He made the choice. And his choice was straight to sin. There's no other way to code it. There's no need to lie about it. He made that choice. Look at his steps. And by the way, sin always keeps going down and more destruction comes along with it. You know the steps here. In verse 10, Abraham lifted up his eyes and said, man, I like that. It's already in his heart because he already saw it once. And because it was in his heart, when he saw it, he said, that's the choice I'll take. He chose. In verse 10, he lifted up his eyes. In verse 11, he made a choice. And in the end of verse 11, he chooses to separate from Abram. And in verse 12, he dwells in the plain. He said, I choose that way. He made a tent and set in the plain. But it wasn't for long. He left the plain and he pitched his tent towards Sodom. He's heading that way. Now he's toward it. When you get to chapter 14 in Genesis, he's living in Sodom. It ain't for the grace of God getting him out. And all kind of hell that comes along with it. It never turns out good going to the world. It's all about how merciful God's going to be when we make them worldly choices. Abraham got out, but his wife turned a pillar of salt. Lot got out, but his wife turned a pillar of salt. He got two daughters out. The other two died in Sodom with them other two son-in-laws. What a mess. You talking about a wrecked life? Just for the glitter of the world? The Bible says in James chapter 3 and verse 5, behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. It's just simple. He looked. I like that, Abram. All right. He went down in the plain. Then he's in toward Sodom. Then he's in Sodom. And God says, hey, man, very clearly, the men of Sodom were wicked sinners exceedingly before the Lord. Before the Lord exceedingly. His choice leads him to failure and despair. Listen to this. Look in 2 Peter chapter 2. We'll close with this. Here's the problem. A lot of times, when you head towards sin, it's like you got blinders on. All you can see is that sin, and you can't see everything that's being destroyed all around you. It's tunnel vision. You got your eyes on what you want, and you ain't hearing nothing, seeing nothing. When people start going that direction, you counsel with them, talk to them, pray for them, and it's like nothing. But here's the problem. One day, you're going to wake up. One day, Lot wakes up, and he's down in Sodom, and he comes to himself, and he says, hey, boys, we got to get out of here. And his whole family looked at him as one that mocketh. And here's what the Bible says about the insight about a sinner that's made wrong choices, that put himself in a mess, a little insight of what's going on in his heart and his mind. That's why people go crazy out there in the world that know God. I'm not talking about lost people. I'm talking about saved people that go out and choose the world over God and shipwreck their lives. Look at this. 2 Peter chapter number 2 in verse number 7. He said in verse 6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them with an overthrowing, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered, look, just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. You're talking about one miserable man. When he left, man, that looks good. Let's go down there and get in the planes. Let's pitch toward it. Then he winds up in there. And then when he gets in there, it's like, I can't get out. And the Bible says he vexed his righteous soul daily. That was one miserable guy in the middle of a mess and could not see any way of getting out. That's what the devil don't show you. Oh, this is fun. Come on. And then you get out there and you're in it and you feel like, I cannot escape. And then you know the examples of what happens. His choice leads to his failure and his despair. Don't make choices, listen to me tonight, that's going to put you in a place away from God in a mess where you're vexed and your life is wasted. Ah, it looks good. Yeah, it might look good. But it ain't as good as they think it is. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Listen to this. Somebody said this. Vice is a monster of so frightful mire as to be hated needs to be seen. Yet seen too oft, familiar with her face, we first endure, then pity, then embrace. Man, that stuff will destroy you. It'll destroy